Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya, where we talk all about Lyme and beyond, because as most of us know, Lyme rarely travels alone. I created this podcast to offer you hope and to remind you that healing is possible because I healed from my 13-year journey. Although it was exhausting physically, emotionally, and financially, it truly was a blessing as it reshaped my mind, body, and soul. In this space, we share raw and real conversations with those who have made it to the other side of this journey, along with breaking down different topics and approaches with practitioners. My goal is to make you feel less alone, more empowered, and confident in being your own advocate. So thank you so much for tuning in today. And if you're looking for more tips and resources, I share everything I learned along my journey on my Lyme and Beyond with Tanya Facebook page. So now let's get to today's guest. And I am super excited for this one for a reason that I'm not going to quite yet tell you. You'll find out more towards the middle of this episode. But my guest today is Allison, and she is actually a singer-songwriter from Wisconsin who has had this dream ever since she was a little girl. And of course, we know what happens to many of our dreams when Lyme enters our universe. And so she's had things put on hold for many years. And so I'm just excited to hear her full journey and then how she made it to the other side and what is going on in her music career now. So, Allison Sky, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really, really excited to talk to you and share my story today.
Well, I am excited to have you with us to hear it all. So, and I know you know our little secret that I just kind of mentioned, right? I'm super excited. So, anyway, so Allison, where does your journey start? Like, do you remember getting bit by a tick? Or, oftentimes we don't even know where our story started until kind of after the fact, right? So I'll just let you decide where you want to start.
I would say in hindsight, I'm like looking back and I think it really started when I was a young child. I mean, I remember being bit by ticks when I was a little kid and I just had a lot of health issues growing up. A lot of stomach issues, a lot of anxiety and depression, even as like a, 7 or 8 year old, I remember feeling very fatigued and just depressed because I didn't have any energy to, keep up with the other kids around me. And that journey went on for a number of years, and I would go to the doctor and kind of when I would have flares, now that I'm looking back and know what it was, I didn't know what it was at that point, but when I would have flares, I would go into the doctor and they would run different tests and they couldn't figure out what it was. And I usually would leave being told something like, it's a virus, you just have to let it ride out, or you have acid reflux, take these pills. And then as I got into my teens, I felt like a lot of those symptoms got worse. And by the time I was 18, I was really, really going through it. My senior year of high school, just all of those symptoms that I mentioned before ramped up. And I know there's other symptoms too that I had, but I can't even remember them all anymore when I'm
Well,
looking
that was a
back.
long time ago. But yeah, I mean, what child at 6 or 7 years old should have anxiety or depression? Like that, it makes zero sense, right?
And because they weren't finding anything, I just thought, well, this is how I am. Like, I was just born this way. Like,
I'm just different
I'm
than all the
just
other
like
kids.
a hypochondriac. I'm just anxious. Those were things that I was telling myself because I wasn't getting any answers and they couldn't find anything wrong with me. But I remember I would say all the time to my parents, my family, like, there's something wrong with me. Like, something is wrong with me. I would say that all the time. But anyways, back
And
to
what were their
18.
responses? Like, were they, I mean,
Well, they didn't really
obviously they
know
were
how to
supportive. They wanted to
respond.
do something, right? But they didn't know how to help you.
I mean, they'd take me to the doctor and they'd hold me as I was, having an episode where I'm on the floor, like shaking and crying, with burning stomach pain. But they didn't really have the words to help me because they didn't know what it was either and they didn't have any answers. And so that was just a really difficult, and I look back at it now as a mom, I just cannot imagine what they were going through. Like, if my son was dealing with that, I would be a mess. I would be a mess.
Right. I can't imagine watching your child go through something like this. We just want to take their pain away, right? And we don't even know how to, and we don't even know what's wrong with them. It's not that we don't believe our child, I'm sure. It's that we're believing the medical community telling us it's A, B, or C, you know? So, yeah, but with your, knowledge now and your education, you can pick up on these things that maybe your parents weren't able to, because this is not a disease that has been talked about for centuries, right? It's been around, but it hasn't been, not a lot of awarenesses about it. And so there is now giving more, resources to these parents.
So back to when I was 18, that's kind of when it hit a pinnacle for me where it was just so horrific. I remember calling my mom at school and saying, "Mom, I can't be here. Like, I need to go to the doctor." And if I'm calling you telling you that, then you know it's bad, because I don't like going to the doctor at all. So I would always wait till it would get so bad that I could not tolerate it any longer. And she picked me up and we went to the doctor, and I remember spending that entire day having tests run. I mean, they did multiple different kinds of blood tests. They did ultrasound. I ended up having an upper endoscopy that day because they were worried that I possibly had an ulcer because I was having all this burning in my stomach. After all of that, like an entire 8 hours of testing, nothing. I mean, the only thing that they told me really was that I had severely low iron. Like, the doctor told me, "We don't see iron this low except for in chemo patients." My ferritin was at a 2. I mean, I was almost completely depleted of iron. I should explain why I was so tired. And at that point, I was diagnosed with anxiety. And I did have anxiety for sure. But now that I know what I know that it wasn't just
There was a
me.
reason for
This,
your
yeah, there's
anxiety.
a reason for my anxiety. And I found out later that I had multiple infections in my brain, kind of causing these panic attacks that I was having. But anyways, at that point, I was diagnosed with anxiety, and I was on anxiety medication for a few years because I was really suicidal, and I didn't think I could survive if I wasn't taking something. And I was 18 at the time, so it was my choice. I wouldn't say necessarily that my parents were thrilled about me being on that, but I think for at that time, it did at least help me come out of the deep, dark hole that I was in. And I think it also masked some of my Lyme symptoms for a few years while I was on it.
Oh,
Not all of them,
interesting.
but for some of them, I think it helped. But in addition to that, I think I also had symptoms from the medication, that really started to bother me. Like, I just felt super numb to the world. No, like, no emotion.
Which sometimes, and I'm glad that you brought that up, Allison, because I am not one, I'm not about pharmaceuticals, right? I'm not about antidepressants. I'm all about trying to support our bodies naturally. But I too was where you were. And I believe that there is a time and place for everything, right? I was on the antidepressants, I was on the anti-anxiety meds. Not that I really wanted to be, but like you just said, we were in this really dark place. And the only way I could get through this, right, without trying to end my life, which was a thought more than once, right? And more than even just a thought, we need to do what we need to do to kind of get through this dark moment, especially when we're not understanding even what's wrong with us.
So at that point, I still didn't know I had Lyme. I just thought, well, I guess I have anxiety. Like, this is who I am. And that's how I kind of label myself in my head. And after a couple years of being on that, I decided that I didn't want to be on it any longer, just because it was making me, I just felt like I was very apathetic. I mean, I was apathetic before, I think, from the Lyme, but I think it increased it. And I didn't feel like myself. I felt just emotionless. I don't think I even cried in the 3 years that I was on that medication. And I'm a very sensitive person, so, like, not crying for that amount of time is highly unusual. And Anyways, I started working with a naturopath to help wean myself off of this, and that was a whole process in itself. And I thought, I can do this. This will be easy, you know? Wrong. was doing all the things, the diet, the supplements, like taking care of myself, all these different things had in place that I thought, okay, I will be able to come off of this no problem. I've only been on it for 3 years. And the whole process of me weaning off of that was another horrific experience for me. I just had so many other symptoms that I never had before taking the medication. Like I was having just hallucinations as I was coming off of it. And like I said, I didn't cry that whole time. I started weaning off of it. I was sobbing every day. Every day I was sobbing for no reason. Like
We're
I didn't even
finally
know.
having emotions.
It was like the floodgates opened, and all of a sudden I was just bawling. And that was just a really, really difficult time. And I think that was about a year, maybe a year and a half before I found out I had Lyme. So I found out I had Lyme in 2016, and that whole thing happened because I got into a car accident, which was my fault because I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus my brain. I was just losing everything in my brain. I mean, after this accident, I stopped driving like shortly after that because I was starting to lose my memory, my short-term memory. I couldn't remember how I got to work one day. So I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I guess I'm done driving at 22.
Wow, that had to have been just so hard. You know, here you are, Allison, the anxiety girl, right? And now you're just kind of starting your life, and now you can't even drive.
Right.
Like,
And so
that's just
then,
a lot for anyone, and especially being so young, right?
yeah. And I ended up moving back in with my parents. And because of that whole car accident, I was just so distraught. I felt horrible. Someone was injured. Like, yeah, I was just very upset, and I needed someone to talk to. So I went to my church and I talked to a pastor, and I thought, okay, I'll be able to talk about this and get this off my chest and hopefully be able to work through this. And then the whole meeting ended up being about my health problems, which I wasn't really going to see him about that, but he was asking me what my symptoms were. And then he looked at me and he said, "Allison, I think you have chronic Lyme disease." And I was irritated, actually. I was annoyed
Really?
because I thought, what does he know? He's a pastor. Like, why is he telling me this? I've been going to doctors since I was a little kid, and nobody can figure out what's wrong with
And
me.
this pastor's going to tell me, he's going to diagnose me, right? But I mean, that right there shows the power of our voices and getting educated about this illness to where we can pick up on signs from other people. I'm sure.
Right. He had
I'm
to have known
100%
someone.
sure there's a million people out there, if not a half a million people out there, that are so tired of me telling them, I think you have Lyme disease.
Right, I do
But, you know, and I hope
that
I'm wrong, but you got to at least get proper
Give him an
testing to rule it
idea.
out. Yeah. Okay. So you get diagnosed from your pastor. I love it.
So he told me that, and I went home and I was just upset, and I thought, oh, I don't know if that's what I have. Like, I actually had asked practitioners about that. I was tested for that when I was a little kid. It came back negative. And when I brought it up to the naturopath I was seeing, she told me, "Allison, you don't want that diagnosis." And I'll never forget that because I thought, yeah, no, I don't want it, but what if that's what I have? And I was just perplexed as to why she said that. And so anyways, the next day I went to work. I driving down the road. This is before I quit driving, because I quit really shortly after that. But I was driving to work, and I thought, you know what? God, if this is what I have, I'm crying out at a stop sign. I'm saying, God, please, if I have this, please show me that I have it and lead me to the right doctor, because I'm not gonna make it. Like, I'm not going to make it and I can't do this anymore. And I'm telling you, the weeks that followed, I had so many things happen that confirmed to me, at least in my spirit, I knew that this is what it was. And this is what led me to the treatment that I ended up doing. I was working at an eye clinic and I was talking to some patients and they coincidentally had Lyme. And so I was asking them, oh, where do you go for that? Like, where, who are you seeing for that? And so they gave me this business card and I held on to it. I put it on my dresser and I let it sit there for a few weeks because I thought, I don't know, should I contact him or not? I'm not sure. And someone gave me a book where the whole foreword of the book was the author talking about how she had Lyme disease. And then I went to another event where I wasn't feeling well and I had these people come up to me and say, they were asking me what was wrong. And then they said, I think you might have Lyme disease. And this just all happened.
All the signs. You can't ignore that now, right?
Right. Right. And so eventually I took that business card and I said, you know what? I am going to call this chiropractor in my town. And if anything, if I don't have it, I'll at least get my back adjusted because my back is giving me a lot of problems. And so I went and I did not understand what he was doing because this was or is an alternative treatment. I didn't understand what he was doing, but within a short period of time, he was telling me where I had infections in my body and it was correlating to symptoms that I had that I didn't tell him. And then he said, yeah, you for sure have chronic Lyme after he was doing his testing. And I thought, what? So at this point, I was 23 and I finally got an answer. And I was relieved. I was happy because I had a name for what I was dealing with. And the first thing I did is I got in my car, I started crying and I called my mom and I said, Mom, I'm not crazy. I have Lyme disease. And I just sobbed. And I brought home, Dr. Ben has his whole testimony written out. And he sent that home with me. And I started reading it. And it was like one of the most validating things I'd ever read because everything that he was explaining that he went through with Lyme is exactly what I had been going through since I was a little kid. And I knew at that point that I wasn't alone and I had an answer. And so I was just so grateful while simultaneously being still really depressed. I took
but
that
it
home.
Is so validating, yeah. Right? Like sometimes that's all we need, right? Like, and I don't want to say that, no, we don't want to get well, but sometimes truly that is just the first biggest step is having somebody believe us and for us to not feel that we're crazy.
Right.
Right.
And I was beginning to think I was crazy because I just wasn't getting any answers. And I mean, it had been so many years of having all these symptoms and just never knowing why is this happening? Why is this happening? So I almost thought that I was causing my own, like perpetuating in my mind somehow my own symptoms. But anyways, I showed my parents about this pamphlet about the treatment, what it was, how it works, and his whole testimony, and they read it and they were crying. And I would not have been able to do this treatment without their financial help, so they paid for my treatment. And even though I was excited to do it, at the same time I was so depressed still, and I thought I really didn't have a lot of hope that it was going to help me because I thought, well, I've been this way my whole life. I don't know if it's going to work or not. I don't even fully understand it. And I guess if it doesn't, whatever. Like I literally told myself I'm probably going to die anyway because I really felt like I was dying. I mean, I was about 90 pounds and could barely eat anything. And at this time I was really just laying in bed all day and only getting up to go to the bathroom and then laying back down. So
I obviously we know now, right? That is not the attitude we need to go into a treatment, right?
No.
Like we got to go all in. Our mindset is so powerful, but yeah, like it was, you And even just like me, when I got turned into, when I finally got my diagnosis and I went to an integrative clinic, I was looking at what they're doing and it made zero sense. And it actually sounded kind of crazy. But like you, I was like, I think I'm going to die anyways. The
So might as well give it a
traditional
shot.
Western medicine isn't going to work. So, like, this is kind of like option B and my final option. I didn't feel I had any other choices. And so I did. I went into it too, like, I'm sure this isn't going to work, but what do I have to lose?
Right.
The
I'm like,
things
I've
we
tried other
learn on this
things.
journey, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd taken all the supplements and I had boxes full of supplements that I had been taking. It wasn't working. I was mostly following like a paleo diet. That wasn't helping. I mean, I thought I was doing everything I could do and I thought, well, I guess I'll give this a shot because what I'm doing isn't working. So I went into it with that poor mindset and I was able to get in fairly quickly. I don't know if they, I was pretty severe, so I don't know if I got moved up on a wait list or anything, or if it was, I was a really local patient. But anyways, the treatment that I did is called Lyme Stop, and
Ah, Allison, hold on a second. That was our key word, guys, was Lyme
yeah,
stop. But
surprise.
that's only half the story, right?
Right.
So, all right. So
I'll get to the other part.
talk right. So, okay. So you meet Dr. Ben, right, that you
Yes.
mentioned because you are in Wisconsin.
Right.
So how did that, what was the process like?
Yeah. So, side note, his office where he was at that time was right across the street from where I went to grade school, which I found kind of hilarious. So it was right there. I mean, he wasn't doing this treatment at that time when I was a little kid. And I also think about that too in retrospect, like, wow, what I was praying for back then, like, God, please heal me, get rid of this, didn't exist yet.
But at least the office was like it was there. That's wow.
Yeah, so it was right
Divine
across.
intervention is sometimes just truly amazing.
Yeah, so it was right there. And the treatment, it's an all natural treatment. And basically, Dr. Tony Smith, he's the original practitioner that developed this method. Dr. Ben also had Lyme disease and was referred to Dr. Tony. So he was treated by Dr. Tony and then he fully healed from Lyme. So he had a pretty miraculous recovery. And then he asked to be trained in this treatment. So he's been doing it now for at least it might be 11 or 12 years. I saw him in 2016, so it'll be 10 years this year for me. And Dr. Tony found that there are certain points on the body, kind of similar to like an acupuncture point, but these points correlate to different infections. So there's like a point for Borrelia, there's a point for Bartonella, there's points for Epstein-Barr, parasites, all the different infections and bacteria. And the treatment is using magnets on these specific infection points, and then there's other points that correlate to the organs in the body. So there's also a magnet used on top of the head. So one on the point, one on the head, and that creates like a circuit. So it brings a heightened awareness to your brain, and it causes your brain to be able to identify where that infection is, and you start detoxing it naturally. So it's really tapping into your body's ability to heal itself. It's just that Lyme hides from your immune system. Like your brain doesn't know that it's there. So this treatment is really showing your brain where it is. And then your body begins naturally detoxing it like it would a common cold. Like you get a cold, you eventually get rid of it. It's just Lyme is more of a stealth infection and hides with all the biofilms and everything.
And hides. And just like what you said, our bodies are truly designed to heal themselves,
Right.
given the right tools, right?
Right.
Given the right foundation, the terrain in your body. And so it sounds like this magnet energy therapy is just that, maybe the little light switch that
Right.
triggers in your body that this is what's going on, and it's just guiding it to heal itself. So basically the treatment just kind of heals yourself, and then you support your bodies with other supplements
Right.
and such.
Right. Right. So it takes about 6 to 8 weeks, give or take, after you're there for the treatment, which is a few appointments over a couple days. And the Lyme is usually what takes the longest to clear out. I mean, some of the other infections you might detox in the first couple weeks. And I would say for me, I am and was a slow detoxer, so I think it took me a little bit longer. I saw more, I think, than some of his other patients that travel from further away just because I was more local. But I think it took me until about 8 months to clear out everything. And another layer for me, if you will, I was also living in mold at the time and I didn't know that, which I was still feeling better, a lot better by that 8 months. But I was still a little fatigued and I think it was due to the mold that I was dealing with. But yeah, I really didn't have high expectations for the treatment. I didn't know if it was gonna do anything for me, but by 3 months, I was back to driving again. Like my memory was so much better, and I was walking. I was taking daily walks every day, like a mile long, which was huge because, as I mentioned before, I was really just getting up to go to the bathroom and I was so shaky. And I'm a musician and I sing and I play piano, and I could barely get through a song. Like if I played one song for you at that point in my life, when I was done, my muscles were so weak that my hands were like this when I was done because I was so weak. So that strength started coming back. And yeah, by the 8 month mark, I was feeling like, oh my gosh, I've never felt like this. I don't even think I felt like this when I was a kid
Because you were sick
because
back
I never really
then.
knew anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So then, how did that kind of switch your mindset? Like, I'm thinking a lot, right? Like you're gaining some hope now because
Yeah.
this crazy treatment that
Yeah.
you knew wasn't going to work, right? But you had nothing to lose, and now you're starting to see some improvements.
Right. I think it's taken years for my mindset to heal. But yes, I was feeling a lot more hopeful, but I was still really stuck in my mind, like in a victim mindset, and just feeling like, well, and not believing in myself or having any confidence, feeling like I couldn't do anything. I really didn't know who I was anymore because you take that away and it's like, well, who am I? This is all I've
Yeah.
talked about for, 20 years.
Right.
And
It's a
how do
whole.
I function now? Am I going to be okay forever? Is this going to come back? Can I get a job or am I going to have to tell them I have to leave again because I physically and mentally can't handle it? I mean, I'd already gone through all of that multiple times and I was just really anxious about making any kind of commitments to anything.
And I think that that's normal because and it might be kind of a crazy way to explain it, but I've said to people in the past that when we come through to the other side of this journey, whether we're on the tail end of treating or we're well, but like you said, we have no confidence, right? Like sometimes I think an easy way for me to explain it, and at least in my head it makes sense, is that it's like we just got released from a 20-year prison sentence, right? So we're locked in these walls, we're locked in our body. Technology has changed, people has changed, we're older, just so many changes out there in the world, and then we get let loose. And how do we get our confidence back? How do we understand what's taking place in the world? Like maybe cell phones weren't around before you got sick, right? Like, what is this cell phone? This is how we communicate. Like, just so many changes in life because life goes on, whether we're stuck in bed or not, right? Like, life goes on. And that can also be a frustrating piece to this journey is that here we are, we're stuck. Right. Like life is not going on for us, and everybody else is just out living their life. And that just adds, I think, more depression to us. Right.
I think I really struggled with bitterness towards other people, not because they had even done anything to me, but just bitterness, especially towards other people that were my age, just feeling like, wow, it must be nice to like go to college, must be nice to pursue your career, must be nice to that looping all the time. So even after I got better, I kind of was stuck in that for a while, and I don't really know what shook me out of that because I never really did anything specific to I guess, necessarily heal my mind, but I just became more and more aware over the years, over the last 10 years, of some of these mindsets. Maybe it was getting married and my husband telling me, like, you do this a lot, or you do this a lot. And
Could
yeah,
be.
that'll be a good mirror for you.
Right. Yeah, because I think a lot of, like, for me, I did therapy, but I didn't start therapy for Lyme disease. I started therapy because I almost lost my life escaping a fire in the town that I lived. And so what ended up as therapy to kind of work through this PTSD from the trauma of the fire then switched to Lyme disease. And it just was like a natural, gradual change. And after a few months, I'm realizing, gosh, we're not even talking about the fire anymore. It's all Lyme disease. And I'm starting to feel better about it. Like, I didn't know that I needed that therapy, right? We don't know what we don't know. And again, I didn't do it intentionally, but I thank goodness, that I did. And just maybe another blessing from the fire, right? But that got me to that therapist to work through what I sometimes even call like a grieving process, going through this journey. So, yeah, so maybe it was your husband, right? Like, okay, why do you keep saying this? And then, you're picking up on
Just
these things
like
yourself.
patterns that I noticed about myself, like and some of it might be genetic, but I do think a lot of things that or mindsets that I've acquired have come from just not feeling heard. I would say that's a huge one. Like, and I still struggle with that. Like, even if someone is listening, or if I just don't feel like I'm being heard, it's like a trigger for me. And I didn't realize that right away. Like, that really is a trigger because, wow, look back. I was a young kid trying to tell doctors and adults, people around me, like, there's something wrong, and just feeling shut down by them. So that is something that I've definitely had to work on and will probably continue to work on. But
Yeah,
yeah.
and I think that those are examples of blocked traumas. And I talk about this a lot in the community because they have to be worked through. And when people say, you mentioned blocked traumas, they're like, well, I had a great childhood. I wasn't abused. I wasn't, but just what you're talking about, not feeling validated, not feeling heard, these are traumas that get blocked within our bodies and they can inhibit the healing process. And so, just for the listeners out there, there's two books that I highly recommend for this type of topic. And one is The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson, and the other one is The Body Keeps the Score.
I
And I
actually have
probably
that
couldn't even
book. I need
say
to
the
read it.
name
It
of the
sounds
author, right? Yes. Okay, Allison, you need to read that book. They truly are fantastic books that can walk you through this and try to make you understand what's really going, because it's not your fault, right? And so just getting that extra guidance and understanding of what's going on in your body through these traumas is very helpful.
And I thought that too, because I did have a good childhood. I mean, despite not feeling well and having Lyme, like, I didn't have, my parents were together, like, I had a good childhood. Like, it wasn't traumatic, at least from what I could understand.
Right. And
But
that's why
now.
I think a lot of times people think they don't have blocked traumas, right? Because we think of, maybe your parents got divorced. Maybe, you were an abusive, you were abused, whether physically, emotionally, sexually, whatever it is. A lot of times that's what people think when they think about blocked traumas. And that could not be further from the truth. I mean, those are for sure, but there's so many other ones, just like what you mentioned, Allison, just the not feeling heard. So.
And as we're talking, I'm thinking, you know what? I may not have, like, done therapy necessarily, but over the last couple of years, I've started writing my songs that are going to be on this EP, and I wasn't writing them for that, but I realize now, sitting here, that kind of was how I was processing some of those, because these songs are really about overcoming and looking back and saying, hey, like, one of them is called Hard Times. Hard Times changed me for the better. That's one of the lines in the song. I never would have been able to say that 10 years ago because I would have been too bitter and angry about what had happened. Because I thought, great, my whole life has been wasted and now I can't pursue music and yada, yada, yada. But I see now, because I went through all of that, I have so much knowledge about my body that I never would have had. And I cut things out of my life that I never would have, just like toxins and things. And yeah, changed my whole diet, my whole lifestyle because of this. But it's good for anyone to have this kind of lifestyle. And I never would have had any of that. And I never would have met some of the people that I've met. I wouldn't be here today if I hadn't gone through that.
You're going to make me cry again.
I'm
No,
going to start crying.
You're exactly right. I have goosebumps that you're saying this, because when we're in the thick of this journey and listeners or people in the community hear us say that this journey is truly a blessing, they
Right.
really get angry. And I get it,
Yeah.
right? You can
I get
probably
it.
even
Yeah.
understand that.
Yeah.
But this was
I'm by
your
no means
journey.
saying suffering necessarily or having to go
No.
through that is it was designed for you or anything like that.
100%. It just is a blessing. And I 1,000,000% believe that these are the things we wouldn't have learned otherwise, the relationships that
Right.
we wouldn't have met, right,
Right.
without going in this community. And there are so many beautiful things that transpire with us going through a journey like this. And then back to your songwriting and your new EP coming out, which I didn't know what an EP was. And so
That's okay.
let me see if I say it right. So it's kind of like a shorter version of a full album, right?
Right, right. So
Okay.
there'll
I
be
love
five
learning
songs
new
on there.
things.
Yeah.
Okay. And I believe like music, sound therapy, like that is healing. And
Right.
it's interesting that you said just kind of the light switch clicked on in you, just having this conversation with me about that was your therapy, was
Right.
writing those songs.
Yeah. And I think that singing, so I really have just started putting myself out there in the last 2 years. So I've been performing for the last 2 years. I've played over 100 times. And I think that singing is even bringing me more healing, like in my mind and in my body. And I know that to be true because I'm also studying sound healing. So I'm getting into that as well. I just earned my first certificate in sound healing for using my voice. And then I'm going to get into the sound bowls and everything like that. But the voice is really powerful. And singing different notes and singing different vowel sounds, like it's all really powerful. So I've been really kind of adding that in too in the last couple months as I've been studying that. And I think it's been really helpful.
Oh, I love that. Sound therapy is one of my favorite things. Like it just, it the frequency, the vibration of the music, whether, you know, I love to use my tuning forks. I love to listen to sound therapy, you know, with different hertz, you know, that you can find on
Yeah.
YouTube or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like what you mentioned, you know, singing and gargling and humming and all of those things, they activate your vagus nerve,
Yeah.
right? Which is a huge piece to your nervous system, which is the huge piece to our healing, right? Our nervous system is out of whack. It's in that fight or flight mode.
Right.
And these little things, sound therapy, whether you're doing it on yourself, you're doing it to yourself, it sounds small and simple and silly,
Right.
maybe, right? But man, is it powerful.
Yeah. And so I feel like as I've been singing over the last couple years, I don't know if it's just the act of doing it over and over, your confidence grows, you know, because I always thought, well, when I'm confident enough, I'll go out and do this. But that's just not how it works. Like, don't wait. Don't wait to be confident to put yourself out there. I wasted time doing that. But as I've been out there singing, my confidence has grown. And I do think part of that is from just the singing, like whatever it's doing to my nervous system, it's really been helping me. And I'm excited to get more education on sound healing and see where that takes me as well.
Well, I love it. So once you get into this, maybe I can have you come back and be a future guest again and
Yeah.
maybe do like a sound bowl therapy
I would
session
love
for
that.
me and the listeners. That would
Yeah.
be amazing. All right, Allison. So let's talk about your EP, right? Like, so does it have a name to this title? When does it go out? When can people find it? Where can they find it? Because I know all the listeners that are listening to this, and myself included, like, I want to hear these songs because
Yeah,
now I know where
thank
they
you.
came from, right?
Thank you.
So you're
That
welcome.
means a
How
lot to
can we
me.
find it? What is it all
Yeah.
about?
It's called Behind This Smile. So I've already actually released 3 songs off of the EP as singles, so it will be coming out with 2 additional songs that I haven't released yet. It's coming out on Friday, May 1st. It's going to be on all the streaming platforms. I am actually ordering CDs too, so I'm going to sell those at my gigs. I'm really excited about that. I've always wanted to have a physical CD of my own music, and I am planning to put it on Bandcamp as well. So just go to my website, AllisonSkyMusic.com. I'll have all the information there. But yeah, the songs are really from this whole journey and discovering like who I am now without the lime, and realizing that it really was a blessing. And I wouldn't have these songs, and I wouldn't have the depth as a songwriter if I hadn't gone through all of that.
You're just doing a really good job at making me cry today. I don't know what it is. Like, I just to be able to see you, right? Like, you've struggled since you were a little girl.
Yeah, I
But
wish I had a
then
picture.
to go
I need to get
through.
some pictures and show people before and after. I mean, I was so sick.
Right.
I didn't realize I looked sick until I look back at old photos and I just see, oh my gosh,
Right.
I was
And then to
not.
hear you follow your dream. Like your dream of a little girl, it's happening. And you're going to hold your very own CD in your hand. Oh my gosh, I need to get my hands on this for sure. So, listeners, as always, in the description of this episode, I'll put Allison's website, the name of the EP, ways that you can get it, everything that you need to know. So, congratulations. Like,
Thank
I
you.
am just beyond thrilled for you and so proud
Thank
of you
you.
for your resiliency and getting through to the other side of this journey.
Thank
It's
you.
amazing.
Yeah, it's been a journey with lots of layers.
Right, for sure. Okay, listeners, are you ready for the other little tidbit piece of what we were talking about? So, because of this journey and because Allison really had great results going to Limestop, she has, and well, let me pause and say this. I get a lot of people reach out to me. I believe Limestop is a fabulous resource for the Lyme community for multiple reasons. One, the treatment is actually a very small little window, right? And it's very affordable considering the amount of money we add up that we've spent over the years, right? Like it really is an affordable tool. I believe in the energy of our body and that our body is able to heal itself. So, Allison, I've been trying to get either Dr. Tony from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, or Dr. Ben from Wisconsin on my podcast for the last several years with zero luck. But you are the runner up
I'm the
because
runner up.
for the runner up because you work for Limestop, you work for Dr. Ben, and you have for the last 7 years. So I'm so grateful that you're going to share whatever you can from us about this clinic. You explained a little bit earlier in your part of the journey about what it was that you went through. So I'm going to just let you kind of talk about it, talk about whatever you're comfortable talking about. I know that, like, for me, I would think that I don't know if you can talk about pricing, but I had mentioned there's a location in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and then one in Wisconsin. It's a couple of days. You'll kind of talk about the appointments and how many days it is. And what can people expect? Like, should they bring things with them? Like, just all the questions that maybe these people, listening that have heard about Limestop but didn't know anything about it, because I can't get Limestop on my podcast. But anyway, so just take it away and what do you want to share?
So a few years after I went through the treatment, Dr. Ben was looking for an employee, and actually I wasn't even sure that I wanted to work there because at that point I was living in mold, so I wasn't doing well from that. And I ended up saying yes, and it has been one of the best decisions I've ever made. Working for him has really been a huge blessing. Like, I've learned so much. And he and his wife are incredibly generous and kind to me, and they feel like family to me. I'm gonna try not to cry. And I've gotten to meet so many people from all across the US, around the world, with similar stories to mine. And I reflect on this all the time and think, wow, if only little Allison would have known She was going to be sitting at an office talking to people about the symptoms that she had when she was little and hearing other people say, oh my gosh, me too. And so it's been really rewarding just to be able to use my story in that way and give people hope. So for that, I'm very, very grateful. The treatment, I mean, I just work at the front desk, so I'm not a practitioner, but I answer questions. I talk to people on the phone. I get patients checked in. I really answer any questions patients have. So if you call the office, it's going to be me and one other person, Anita. And yeah, that's what I do when I'm not doing music or taking care of my 3-year-old. And the treatment, it's 4 appointments in 2 days. And the total cost as of right now is $4,200. That cost covers those 4 treatments. And it also covers 3 months worth of supplements and a 3-month follow-up visit. And then we do require a $500 deposit at the time of booking the appointment. So that comes off of the $4,200. So the remaining balance is due when the patient is in the office for the treatment. It's pretty non-invasive. I mean, we get asked all the time, like, do I need to bring this? Do I need to do this? Do I need to, like, do all these things before? And not really. I mean, no. It's, like, really not a lot that you have to do, which is kind of out of the ordinary for most Lyme patients. They're used to taking, like, 30 supplements a day and doing this tincture at this time and just being, you know, kind of stressed out by the regimens that they're on. So I would say it's pretty relaxed. And when you come into the office, the first treatment is about 45 minutes to an hour. So in that appointment, he's, you know, figuring out which infections you have, where they're located, and gives explanation of the treatment, answers any questions that you have, and begins treatment in that first appointment as well. And then the other 3 visits are about 15 to 20 minutes each. So
so the first day you go in for your first appointment, the 1 of 4, and mm-hmm. they are going to discover what infections you have and do a treatment. And then mm-hmm. what, you just leave and go about your day and come back later that day for the second treatment?
So depending on where the patient is from, I would say a lot of his patients are from out of town. They're staying at a hotel. So either go back to their hotel or go get something to eat and then come back. There's usually a couple hours in between each of the appointments. And for our schedule at Dr. Ben's office, we are there 5 days a week, but depending on what day you schedule, you might have like 3 appointments one day and then the 4th one the second day, or you might have 2 and 2, okay. just depending on what day you land on, because there's certain days that we are only there a half day instead of a full day. So, but in total, it's 4 appointments in 2 days, and it is the same treatment at Dr. Tony's office. So they are doing the same treatment. And yeah, I'm just trying to think if there's other questions that we get asked a lot.
So I think what I hear a lot in the community is, so after their first appointment, like, how are they going to feel, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and chances are, right, first of all, we know we're all different.
Right.
We all right. react to different things differently. So mm-hmm. we're individual. But a lot of us feel, let's admit it, pretty crappy right. if we're going to your clinic in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. So, do they usually feel worse? Do people herx from these? Do they mm-hmm. normally have a reaction from the first appointment or maybe the 4th appointment on the second day, or just kind of, and mm-hmm. again, this is kind of a guesswork of just
yeah.
conglomerating all the patients that you've seen over the years. Mm-hmm. What is kind of the main consensus on that?
Well, it definitely varies. I would say the more severe a patient is, they're probably going to have more detox symptoms than someone who has okay. more of like a body-based case and they don't necessarily have as many infections in the brain. And usually the younger the patient is, the more quickly they bounce back, like if it's a child.
Okay.
But I would say fatigue can be one symptom that a patient may experience. I know I did right after the first treatment. I noticed, I was like, oh, I'm just so tired. But that's not everyone's experience. Some people don't notice anything till like a week later.
Right.
It really depends on the person. And then there's obviously other factors involved too. If someone is living in mold, they are getting treated for mold in the body when they're at the office. But if they're going back into that environment, obviously their body's going to react as soon as they get back into that environment, and usually mold is wherever there's any kind of water damage in a building. So that can be a whole nother, you know, element to deal with that's difficult, and something that I understand because I have gone through that as well. But yeah, I usually tell patients, like, if you're able to drive to your appointment, you should be able to drive home. If you want to bring someone with you, that's completely fine. I mean, you can bring someone back with you in the office when you're getting treated. You don't have to be back there by yourself.
So if they're basically living alone, and they're able to drive and, you know, go about their day on their own, even though, like, it's a miserable living, right?
Right.
Then they should be able to go to the clinic, get them to the appointments, fly home, and do all of that stuff. It is from what it sounds like.
Right.
And my understanding is that your clinic has maybe a resource list of places to stay nearby.
Yes.
Are you guys able to offer discounts at these hotels, or do they offer them?
I know there's a discount for sure for one of them, and we've really shortened our hotel list just because we've had some complaints about certain places because he sees so many patients with mold. We've had some complaints about certain places, so we've really shortened our list just down to two places. So one of them is right nearby the office, like less than 5 minutes, and then the other one is a local boutique hotel. I know,
but
they
you
offer...
can connect them with those resources when they call in to schedule their appointment. Okay.
Right.
And then, of course, this is another, you know, open-ended question, but, you know, and actually, for an example, I don't know when it was. I lose track of recording dates, but not that long ago, I had a guest on that went to LimeStop, and it literally took her a year before she really started seeing the needle move. And so do you see, can you give like maybe a guideline of things? I know that you mentioned earlier that those with that are younger, right? Like our bodies bounce back quicker.
Yeah.
And again, it determines the level of your infections, the level of your capacity right now, your mental capacity, your physical capacity, a lot of things, you know, play into this, I'm sure.
Yeah. I would say a lot of patients are clearing the Lyme by their 3 to 4 month follow-up visit, but it can take longer for the organs to heal in the body, just recovering from dealing with those for so long. It's so hard to like give an exact amount of time because, again, there's the other fact, the environmental factors. For one, if someone's dealing with mold, or even like some patients are living next to farms or are farmers and are dealing with pesticides and things like that. But I would say in general, most patients do clear the Lyme by the follow-up visit. There are some patients that may come back and still have like Borrelia in their teeth. If they do still have something at that visit, Dr. Ben will retreat it, and he'll schedule for them to come back usually about 6 to 8 weeks after that. So he'll see someone until it's cleared. But yeah,
and
really,
that included in that one price?
Anything
if they had to
after,
come back?
Yeah, so anything after the 3 to 4 month follow-up visit is outside of the package. So
okay.
He charges per infection after that. And usually if you have anything at that point, it's usually like one or two things typically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't have to pay the whole $4,200 again to...
No.
Okay. Got it.
No.
And then so, and this is going to be just your personal opinion, of course, but if somebody is living in mold, right? Like, we know the biggest thing is you've got to get out of it. We know this. It's not always easy to do, right?
Right.
For whatever reason.
I know.
So if somebody is actively living in mold and they know it, do you recommend going to LimeStop? Or
I mean,
maybe
personally,
they should wait? Is it a waste of money? Is it going to get them so far? Like, what are your personal thoughts on it?
I still think it's worth it. I mean, obviously, I was living in mold, and actually after I got treated and then I got married, I moved into another moldy building, and I didn't learn much about mold until I started working for Dr. Ben. But I still think it was worth it because I was still able to clear the Lyme, and so it did help, you know, get rid of the infection load. Now, mold is a whole beast of its own that can cause so many different symptoms. So there definitely are patients that are coming, getting rid of Lyme, and then going back into mold, and they're still not feeling well, and it's due to being exposed to the mold and mycotoxins. And I know how hard it is to kind of up and leave. Like, I ended up having to, my husband and I moved out of our home and we got rid of all of our clothing, everything porous, because I couldn't get it out of that stuff. And I didn't want to get rid of those things, but it ended up just being so worth it. In the end, I felt so much better after I got out of the mold. I think it's still worth it. Patients can definitely make the choice to like remediate it or move beforehand. I mean, I think it would probably make it easier to detox if you're not having to deal with other toxins. But I do see that the treatment still works regardless of whether or not that is your situation. Obviously, it'd be easier to not be dealing with mold for mentally and physically.
Yes, no, mold is, like you said, a whole nother beast on its own, right? So, if somebody calls your clinic, or what is, like, just kind of a baseline explanation of what this therapy is, because, as we know, a lot of times the person suffering with Lyme disease, like their spouse or their family, they can't get on board with alternative treatments, right? Like, because this is outside the box, thinking outside the box. And in my opinion, it's the outside the box tools that are going to get us well when it comes to chronic Lyme disease. But what is an easy way for somebody to explain it to somebody instead of just, it's like they put magnets on you and you get well, right? Like, that sounds a little hoaxy, right? So how would you explain it to somebody?
Well, I explain it through the point system of just talking about, like, you know how in acupuncture there's different points that they put the needles in that correlate to different organs in the body. The point system for the Lyme infections is kind of similar. I mean, it's just different locations. So these different points, like one of the Lyme points is on the right shoulder for Borrelia. And usually when someone has Lyme, these points can kind of be tender to the touch if you know exactly where they are. But activating these points with the magnets and then on top of the head, creating that circuit is what brings the heightened awareness to your brain to show it, oh, hey, you have this. Like, yeah, you've got this over here. And that's what really starts the detox process in the body, is having your brain be able to identify where it is and that it's there. Because we all know that we eventually get over, other sicknesses, the flu, common colds, because our body is built to heal itself. And so I think really the only reason that Lyme is different is just because it is a stealth infection. So this treatment is showing your body where it is, and then your body's doing what it's made to do. It just starts detoxing.
Love that. Okay. So, kind of just a, we're using our own body's energy and to heal itself, right? We're just flipping that switch on for people. All right. Well, it sounds like it is a pretty easy peasy, so to say, kind of treatment. So people don't need to pack anything extra that they wouldn't normally need, just at home. They can come in their comfortable clothes and go to their appointments, and then come back, for their follow-up appointments. And then they come back 3 months later. Is that what you said?
3 to 4 months.
Okay. And then they do another, do they have to stay, if they're not too far, do they have to stay the night, or is it just kind of a quick in and out, and they could drive back home a couple hours away, let's say?
It's a shorter appointment, so he's just really going over everything that he initially treated them for and checking to see if there's anything remaining at that point, and he would retreat anything that he finds. Even if it's something that they didn't necessarily have, because sometimes people will pick up something else in between, the two visits,
Right. Okay. And
mycoplasma,
so
whatever.
if they have to retreat something on that 3 month follow-up, do they come back one more time to make sure they're clear? And is that appointment included in the initial price?
It would depend on what it is. If it's Borrelia, Lyme, then he would have them come back so he can recheck it again. But if it's something more minor, then they would be done. But some patients will still schedule something out, twice a year, once a year, just to come back and have him check.
Okay. All right.
And that is after that follow-up visit. It would be outside of the package, so then he's just charging per infection.
Okay. Perfect. Oh my gosh, what else do we want to know?
I'm trying to think
What
of the
can we think
questions I get
about? I
asked on a
know.
daily
Yeah, ask
basis.
about, think about what people ask you when they call.
I guess we get asked, like, I can't detox. How do I know I'm going to be able to do this treatment? Because I'm just not good at detoxing. And so I just usually say, well, if you're able to use the bathroom, you are able to detox. And I was someone that really slowly, I would take an Epsom salt bath and I would have to sleep for 3 hours afterwards because it was just overwhelming to my body. I think that's kind of what maybe blows some people's mind is that you don't have to necessarily do all these extra things after you go through the treatment. It's just kind of waiting for your body to process it out. I mean, doing sauna, Epsom salt baths, foot detox baths, those are all fine. You can definitely do all those things. But you don't necessarily have to do them to like make the treatment work, if that makes
Gotcha. So
sense.
those additional things that they may do at home are just additional ways to support their own individual body
Right,
to kind of get
right,
it through
right.
this hurdle. So you had mentioned earlier too that this package includes all your supplements. So it's what they recommend based on the individual person.
Right, yeah. So he individually tests for deficiencies on each person. So you're not giving
Okay.
out the same exact thing to everyone.
Gotcha. And then binders. Do you guys recommend binders to your patients?
He does not. No, we don't really do any binders because he does some like laser detox type things for toxins and more or less for the mold. I mean, his main recommendation is like yours, like if you can get out of it, that's going to be the best scenario for healing or remediating, although remediating is can kind of be difficult too, because you know sometimes
Not
people get
sure which one's
things.
harder, remediating or moving.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I see that a lot too, is no, they didn't give me any binders. So maybe it's because I'm assuming that if they're struggling with herxing and having a lot of issues as they're going through the process after the appointments, is it going to hurt them to take binders? Because it sounds
No,
like the other
no.
things that, we talked about, saunas or baths or ionic foot baths, all those are just supportive tools to support your body
Right.
going through the
Yeah.
process. And so a binder could be something that they could add in on their own if they're
Yeah.
feeling that, extra symptomatic that they need to
Yeah.
kind of bind out what they're killing off. So all right, Allison, anything else? I'm sure we're going to think of a whole bunch of things we
Yeah.
want to just talk about when we finish, right?
Yeah, let me just think for a second here.
And I think we covered kind of the gist of it, explaining what it is, right? The price point of it. Because again,
Right.
yes, we understand that $4,200 is a lot of money, and then a flight and then a hotel room, like it's an expense, and we're not diminishing that. What we were saying at the beginning is that look at how much we've spent over the years on different things that obviously didn't work, right? So, and I hear such high success stories from Limestop. I've also heard a few that people did not get well, right? So there's not one thing that fits everyone, but I think that it could be a fabulous resource to people that are just really kind of at their wits' end. They don't know what to do, they don't know where to go, and we're running out of money, right?
I tell patients all the time that I really believe that it saved my life. I'm so grateful to Dr. Tony for developing this method and for Dr. Ben for treating me. I mean, I just cannot imagine. I really don't think I would be here if I had not found the treatment. Like I had mentioned before, I really struggle with suicidal thoughts and depression, anxiety, and I had a whole host of physical symptoms too, but it's just been life-changing for me, and I'm really, really I just, God really answered my prayer when I said, show me
He
what it
sure
is and lead
did
me to the
with
right doctor.
lots of signs, right? No, I am truly so grateful for Dr. Ben and Dr. Pony Tony as well, because you can find a practitioner that can treat you for Lyme disease, right? And the first appointment could be $2,000. And that's just to go in and see them, right? So I really give them both kudos to keeping this at an affordable price point. that they do, because we really need resources that are obtainable, right? It's hard. We're not saying it's easy, but it can be attainable to get to the clinic. So, well, Allison, again, thank you so
Thank
much
you.
for sharing your journey and speaking on behalf of Dr. Tony and Dr. Ben from LymeStop, right? Because we want to know what it is. People need to know about this resource. There are many people out there that have never heard of it. So I'm excited to share this episode with everyone. And I'm excited to get my hands on your CD.
I'm going to
Congratulations
send you
again.
one. I'll send you
Oh,
one.
my goodness. But you're going to
I'll send
sign
you
it,
your
right?
address.
I
I'll
want
sign
a
it. Yeah.
signed copy. Oh my gosh, I'm so
Yeah.
excited. That is so sweet of you. But
Thank
truly, I
you.
am so proud of you and congratulations. And you deserve everything and everything that's going to be coming your way in the future.
Thank you.
So
Thank you so
thank you so
much.
much. I
Yeah.
appreciate you.